You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
On the very day that the miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead took place, this sensational event was also immediately controversial. Enemies of the Savior did their best to deny that the crucified Redeemer had burst the chains of death. But the events surrounding the resurrection were so spectacular, they were so unusual, and they involved so many people that it was absolutely impossible to keep the facts and the details suppressed. Nobody could keep the lid on. You see, early Easter morning, a severe earthquake had taken place. An angel of the Lord descended from the heavens. He rolled the stone away from the grave, and then he sat upon it. The Roman soldiers assigned to guard the Savior's tomb witnessed all these miraculous and supernatural happenings. They were stunned and totally shaken. In his gospel, Matthew writes that the guards shook for fear, and they became like dead men. Shortly thereafter, St. Matthew tells us that these same hardened military men, having just had their self-confidence shattered, quickly left the scene of the tomb. They hurried into the city of Jerusalem, and they reported to the chief priests all that had happened. Disturbed and angry and out of control, these might be some of the words that we could use to describe the immediate reaction of those who had led the conspiracy to murder the Messiah. Now the word was out. Jesus was not dead. He was alive, and something had to be done to stop this information from spreading, and it had to be done quickly. St. Matthew explains that when these religious leaders had called together the assembly of the elders, they counseled together. And then they quickly devised a cover-up. They said to the soldiers who had guarded the Savior's tomb, "Here, take this money, and if anybody asks you what happened to Jesus, who was crucified on the cross and laid in the grave, then simply say that the followers of Jesus stole the Savior's body while the guards were asleep." These conniving, bribing, and dishonest religious leaders then also urged the soldiers not to worry about the cover-up. "If this should come to the governor's ears," they said to the soldiers, "we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." The guards accepted the bribe. They did as they were instructed. They lied about what had happened. And the Holy Scriptures record that this same story, this same falsehood that claimed that Jesus never rose from the dead, is widely told even unto this day. In a book published by Harper & Row titled The First Easter, Dr. Paul L. Meyer examines this phony, stolen body theory along with many other theories which have been put forth over the centuries. Dr. Meyer is a professor of ancient history. He holds several distinguished degrees, one from Harvard and also a doctor's degree from a major European university. With these impressive credentials from major secular institutions, Dr. Meyer nevertheless states that all of the contrived theories, all of these fabricated falsehoods designed to deny the resurrection of Jesus, including the one purporting to prove that someone stole the body, every one of these theories has been shown to be an outright hoax. Not one of these theories can stand up to the close scrutiny often demanded in the academic community. This, then, is what Dr. Meyer finally concluded. He said, "All the circumstantial evidence from the first Easter and logic itself stands against these theories. And so the foundation facts of the historical and saving Christian faith remain. And these are the unalterable historic facts. Jesus Christ died on a cross on a lonely hill just outside the city of Jerusalem. And the death Jesus died was voluntary. No one forced him to do it. This death of God's Son was a sacrifice to appease the Heavenly Father's wrath directed toward you and me as a result of our sin. On the cross, Jesus Christ took upon himself your punishment and mine. Jesus died in our place, and that is why we call this the substitutionary atonement." And so, my friend, the greatest news in the whole world for you today is that God has now accepted the innocent death of His only Son as a full and complete and total payment for all of your past sins, all of your past mistakes, and all of your failures in your marriage and your family. This is why St. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica saying that Christians are awaiting God's Son from heaven, whom the Father Himself raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Oh yes, my friends, this is why the immovable and unchangeable facts of faith are so important. The Christian faith is not a myth, even if you are not a Christian. Even if you have not gone to church lately, you must listen to the facts. The Christian faith is not just one faith among many religions. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. There is no other way that you and I can avoid God's wrath and anger on Judgment Day. Only calling upon the saving name of Jesus shall deliver us from the judgment and the fires of hell. In the Bible, Acts chapter 4, we read, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now is the day, yes, now is the hour for you and your family to start over. Forget about all your past arguments. Forget about all your past fights and disagreements. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, covers all your sins. The Savior's blood blots out all your past failures. And when you, by faith, believe this wonderful gospel message, then God the Holy Spirit will assure your heart of your complete and total pardon. Yes, my friend, the facts of history which assure you and me of our total forgiveness are indeed involved. Our intellect is also involved. But it is God the Holy Spirit who works with these facts through His living Word, which then miraculously causes the seed of faith to sprout and to grow strong in our weak and doubting hearts. Oh, is this not what many of you are looking for today? You may not be able to describe exactly how you feel, but your soul cries out that you need something to believe in. Oh, how numerous and increasing are the numbers of filled beds in retirement and nursing homes. For some of these helpless and hopeless inhabitants, it is too late. Their minds are already gone, but others toss and turn, often wondering why they are left on this earth to languish in emptiness and pain. For those of you who find yourselves in these conditions, the unchanging facts of faith recorded by God the Holy Spirit in the Bible are for your help and your hope. These facts, yes, these scriptural truths, are based upon the one fundamental unchanging doctrine that Jesus Christ was crucified, that He died, and that He rose again on the third day from the dead. And so this divine knowledge can now plant hope in your heart, even if you feel that your end is near. Oh yes, already centuries ago, the lies designed to deny the resurrection were very well contrived. But these liars soon met some very stiff opposition. The Apostle Peter and the apostles John and James and others could not be forced to keep silent about the resurrection. Why, you ask? Simply because they had seen the Savior with their own eyes. With their own ears, they had heard the words the Savior spoke after His resurrection from the dead. Even as these first Christians faced bloody persecution and often a martyr's death, they stood immovable and they stated, "We cannot do anything else except speak about the things that we have seen and that we have heard." It was this same conviction of the resurrected Messiah which moved St. Paul to write to the Corinthian congregation that Jesus was seen by over 500 people at one time after His resurrection from the dead. The courageous testimony of the early Christians is something for all of us to consider in our day. Think of our own courts of law. One eyewitness can often provide convincing testimony. So much more, then, can we as Christians rejoice today because of the recorded multiple testimonies of those early eyewitnesses who refused to be forced to say anything other than what they themselves had seen with their own eyes. They had seen the facts for the foundation of faith. And with this evidence transformed by the Holy Spirit into conviction, their minds could not be altered one iota. Every day, the joy and the hope of the resurrection should move our hearts also to thank God for the eternal hope that He has given every one of us. Shortly before this last Christmas, an elderly man wrote us from his room in a rest home near Kansas City. He told how his wife of many years had passed away, and it was difficult for him to watch her suffer during her last months. This man had tears in his eyes, but he also had hope in his heart, just as the early disciples testified that Jesus was raised from the dead. So also this grieving gentleman knows and realizes in his heart that he will see his loved one again. This man believes that Jesus died and rose again, this central doctrine of the Bible, expressed so clearly by the prophet Job in the Old Testament, grants this gentleman every day and also offers every one of us today the power and the faith to believe in the inspired words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Thessalonians, saying, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus Christ." Even more recently, a mother wrote to us from Milwaukee. For the past few years, everything had been going great in their family. But then, suddenly, tragedy struck. Cancer raised its ugly head, and their son, who was not yet 30 years of age, was taken from them. The elderly man near Kansas City and the family in Milwaukee both lost ones they dearly loved. Indeed, there were tears, but these faithful followers of the Savior did not grieve as those who have no hope. With their eyes of faith and through their tears, these stalwart Christians riveted their gaze and trust upon the empty cross of Calvary. Their courage to face the future with joy was established upon the open Easter tomb, their faith foundation firmly fixed in the eternal work of the Spirit. Echoes the conviction of the first persecuted Christians, as they state in our text for today, "We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friends, is a fact of history, and nobody is going to change that." And so, my friends, today the message of the Savior's death and victorious resurrection is for you. For those of you who have been told by doctors that you have very little time left, God's message of love, anchored in the Savior's resurrection, has the power to lift your spirits. Let these facts of faith keep you steady, happy, and hope-filled unto the end. Yes, let the very words of Jesus be the blessed assurance, easing your anxious mind and comforting your troubled soul. Hear the wonderful words of Jesus to you, "For this is the will of my Father," Jesus said, "that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the facts of faith are not only for the sick and the dying. Knowledge of and belief in the resurrection offers an entirely new approach for people in all walks of life. For those of you who are businessmen or farmers or factory workers or nurses, teachers or salesmen or secretaries, or one of the many other honorable professions of this world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has a powerful meaning for you. Because of the resurrection, getting up every morning, often before the rise of the sun, these laborious undertakings need no longer be disgusting and burdensome. The facts of faith make your long hours of labor important. Your diligence at your task is not in vain. You are working in and contributing to God's wonderful creation. You men and women, teenagers and housewives of our country, your work is not in vain. You are important in the world that God has established. And the effects of your sweat and toil will be remembered not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so, because of the resurrection, there is a reason for you to live. There is a reason for you to raise a family. Yes, there is a reason for you to get up every morning and to stretch forth your limbs and to go forth into the world with great hope and endless determination. This life is not all there is. For all those who await the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there beats within their breast the undeterrable hope of paradise and life eternal. These hopes are for sure. They are all built upon the solid facts of the historical Christian faith. Facts which were not conjured up in the fanciful minds of some mystic dreamers. These facts of faith were set forth by those early Christians in the face of bloody opposition. These powerful proclaimers of the true faith spoke our text for today when they said, "We cannot but speak about those things which we know are sure and true." These early Christians could not be stopped with a boldness that often stunned their most bitter enemies. These crusaders for the truth, these fighters for the facts instead of fiction, testified to the hope of the resurrection, an undeniable hope based upon the facts that they had seen with their own eyes. These same stalwart and unswerving testimonies of faith finally produced the great Christian confession such as the Apostles' Creed. For centuries, opposing popular trends, endless cults, and oceans of unbelief, members of the burgeoning Christ-proclaiming church have stood up every Sunday and stated without reservation or fear that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he suffered under the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, that he was crucified on a lonely hill just outside of Jerusalem, and that Jesus then died and he was buried. 3 days later, the crucified Christ rose again from the dead, and then he ascended gloriously into heaven. Now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding and pleading on behalf of all those who believe and trust in him. And so, my friends, now is a time for you to lift up your eyes unto the Lord. By the power of the Easter resurrection, throw off all your feelings of hopelessness and discouragement. Look up. In the midst of your daily frustrations and trials, by faith, grasp firmly that confession so boldly and gloriously professed by the first eyewitnesses of the historical resurrection when they said, "We cannot speak about anything else except those things which we know to be true." Even in the midst of tortures and trial, this conviction made these early Christians' faces smile. Let it be the same for you today. Lift up your heads, away with all fears and discouragement. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a myth. It is an unchangeable and undeniable fact of history. This fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith has the power to change your life from tears to joy and from discouragement to eternal hope. O Lord, we pray, let this be true for all of those who are listening today. Amen.